I'm Nick Harvey Doyle, an Anawan man from the northern tablelands of New South Wales. The Yarn podcast is made on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri, Woiwurrung, and Bunurong people. We'd like to acknowledge First Nations people as the first storytellers. We pay our respects to elders past and present. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
From the Centre for Advancing Journalism at the University of Melbourne, this is The Yarn. I'm Thomas Phillips. On Wednesday, dozens of pro-Palestine protesters occupied the University of Melbourne's Arts West building. They say this sit-in will last until they are either forcibly removed or their demands are met. They're calling for the divestment of university funds from weapons manufacturers. The university has threatened those involved with severe consequences. Last night, police were given the green light to evict protesters. It's an escalation of the ongoing Gaza solidarity camp on the university's South Lawn, where tents popped up over 3 weeks ago. I spoke to the citizen's James Costa about his reporting on the sit-in. I started by asking James how the Arts West occupation started.
So on Wednesday at 11 a.m., students, staff and activists gathered on the South Lawn to host a rally, and they listened to speeches. And from there, they began to march to the Arts West building, which is probably about 150 meters away from the South Lawn. By about 12 p.m., they had begun occupying that Arts West building. And so then the protesters began unfurling banners and moving tents into Arts West. And then they unfurled a very large banner from maybe the third story that said Mahmoud's Hall in honor of a Palestinian student who won a scholarship to study in Australia but was killed in Gaza on October 20, 2023. Students and staff and protesters, they say that this is going to be a permanent sit-in in the Arts West building until the university divests and discloses ties with weapons manufacturers and as well, in their words, condemns the genocide in Gaza. And the sit-in marks another escalation in a series of pro-Palestine protests that have occurred on campus since the October 7 attacks in Israel. About 40 of the protesters said that they were willing to be arrested by police if they were instructed to move on. And then by about 4 p.m. that afternoon, there were at least 100 people who were forming a picket line around the entrances of that building. And they mostly identified themselves as university staff members, both academic and professional. And they were there in support of the protesters.
The sit-in started on May 15th, which is Nakba Day. What's the significance of this date to pro-Palestine protesters?
So Nakba, which means catastrophe in Arabic, is a really significant day for the Palestinian people, and it marks the anniversary of the day in 1948, when during the Arab-Israeli War, a large majority of the Palestinian population was permanently displaced.
And what's the mood been like in the Arts West building since the sit-in started?
I think that the mood has generally been pretty positive, as with most of these protests, in the sense that people are happy and chatting and seem to be having a good time. But that's not to take away from the serious approach that they're taking. So protesters were there and they were actually still chanting and singing until about 10 p.m. at night. Just to describe the Arts West building, it's quite a beautiful building, actually. It's architecturally designed, and all of the levels, they have balconies that face into this large open atrium. And that's where about 40 students who were willing to be protested formed a large circle with another picket line around them within the building of students who said that they would attempt to slow police from getting to these students who were willing to be arrested.
The university's acting provost, Pip Nicholson, addressed the crowd directly on Thursday. What did she have to say?
it was, you know, a little bit rowdy when she was talking to the protesters. A lot of people were interjecting. But for the most part, I think that both parties, both Pip Nicholson as well as the protesters, let the other party be heard. Pip was saying that if protesters didn't want to leave the building in respect of the university leaders, she wanted them to leave in respect of their peers, of their fellow classmates. And she really stressed a number of times that the university did not want to see an escalation of a sit-in that they couldn't sanction, and then the potential consequences of that escalation. But protesters weren't really having that. They were saying that it was on the university and they were the ones who would escalate, and that they were just peacefully occupying this building and that it wasn't actually causing a disruption. But Nicholson continued and told them that if they were not to leave within an hour, then the university, and this is a quote, the university will make a decision that will regrettably and unavoidably escalate the tension. In response, protesters were yelling shame and asking, is that a threat?
Has the university outlined what these consequences might be?
Yeah, so in a video that was posted on Thursday afternoon, the Deputy Vice Chancellor, Professor Michael Wesley, said that while students do have a right to protest, they had crossed a line, and that the occupation was now seriously disruptive and seriously intimidating. And that's a quote. And he said also that the protests and the occupation had impacted 6,000 students and caused 150 classes to be cancelled. He also said that if the university's codes of conduct are contravened, as they have been, people who have broken those codes of conduct will face disciplinary action and potentially police action as well.
Has there been much of a police presence at the sit-in so far?
Well, no, actually. On Wednesday afternoon, maybe about after 4 p.m., two police were spotted on campus and they were filming the protest, and maybe a few more off campus. And then on Thursday afternoon as well, maybe about 8 police were spotted walking through the university, but they did not enter the Arts West building and they were only here very, very briefly.
The sit-in has faced both backlash and support on campus. Can you tell listeners about this?
Yeah, so there has been a lot of community support in the way of home-cooked meals being dropped off. And I also heard that staff members had ordered quite a few pizzas as well to the sit-in. And when I was there on Wednesday, I maybe saw about 20 or 30 pizzas being delivered. So yeah, definitely a lot of support from some aspects of the university community. There was a small group of counter-protesters yesterday, but they did not stay for very long either.
So it seems like there's a lot of university staff support. What's the official stance of the National Tertiary Education Union?
Yeah, well, on Thursday, the NTEU, the Melbourne University branch, they passed two motions that were directly related to support for the UniMelb for Palestine, which is the group that is organizing some of these protests, their encampment, as well as their demands for the university to disclose all ties to weapons manufacturers. And I think they've included as well militaries and institutions which are directly implicated in Israel's violence in Gaza. And both of those motions were passed with more than 97% support. And actually, it follows NTU members at the University of Sydney, who last week voted overwhelmingly in support of a motion to endorse the institutional academic boycott of Israeli universities and to cut ties with the war industry.
So earlier you mentioned protesters had renamed Arts West to honour Mahmoud Al-Nawk. Can you tell us more about his story?
Yeah, so Mahmoud was actually killed in Gaza in an airstrike that also killed 20 of his family members. And he was a 25-year-old Palestinian who worked as a translator for human rights groups, also as a journalist and at a Gaza-based think tank. And last year, he received an Australian Awards scholarship from the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, and he was going to study a master's degree in international relations. But Mahmoud was killed before he could come to Australia and actually complete those studies. The renaming of Arts West to honor Mahmoud is actually a reference to the student protesters at Columbia University who renamed a building that they occupied to Hinz Hall. And that was in honor of Hind Rajab, who was a six-year-old who was killed in Gaza by the Israeli military while she was waiting for paramedics and was trapped in the vehicle where her six relatives had just died from a tank attack. And actually, the ambulance that was sent to rescue her was also hit by the Israeli military, and the two paramedics that were in the ambulance were killed.
That was James Costa. You can read his reporting on the occupation in The Citizen. We've included a link in our show notes. Vian is from the Centre for Advancing Journalism at the University of Melbourne. It's produced on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Our executive producer is Louisa Lim. I'm Thomas Phillips. See you next week.